Hey everyone, Kirk Siminoff, editor of the Wichita Business Journal here, and welcome to episode 360 of the Biz Talk with the Wichita Business Journal podcast. We created this podcast 7 years ago because we wanted to provide you with some insight into the people, places, companies, organizations, and issues that are important to Wichita's business community. Do you, or more likely your kids, keep up with the videos from Dude Perfect, the five guys who have turned trick shot videos into a multi-million dollar enterprise? Well, today on Biz Talk, we don't have the dudes, but we do have two dudes, lowercase d, who the dudes, uppercase D, have entrusted to build capital for their long-term plans. Jason Illion and Scott Flukey of High Mount Capital tell me about the dudes, their plans, and how it was they met and became a huge part of the growth plans. Jason and Scott join me in just a minute. But first, here's a look at what's in the weekly edition of the Wichita Business Journal. This week's cover story ties into this week's list, which is our third annual Fastest Growing Companies list. We track Wichita area companies on their revenue growth from calendar year 2022 to 2023, and it's always an interesting mix of companies and sectors. Then reporter Shahir Naveed talks to leaders of many of those top growth companies to see what's working for them and why 23 exploded for them. Companies on the Grow begins on page 8. Part of our mission is to help small and medium-sized businesses grow. One way we try to accomplish that is through our weekly lead section. We list bankruptcies, new real estate deals, building permits, new corporations, who owes back taxes, and court judgments. Our lead section this week begins on page 18. Equity Bank means business. That's why they've created business solutions to help you solve your business challenges. Visit them today at equitybank.com. Jason Illion and Scott Flukey were part of national news a couple weeks ago. These Wichitans are leaders at High Mount Capital, based in Wichita and New York. And they announced a strategic partnership that includes a nine-figure growth capital investment for social media stars Dude Perfect to grow. And if you've never heard of Dude Perfect, these two will explain it. Jason and Scott, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Before we get into High Mount Capital and its relationship with Dude Perfect, I'd like you to each talk about your backgrounds and how you got to this point. Where did you grow up, your education, career path? Jason, let's start with you.
Yeah, so, well, first of all, thanks for having us. I've been here in Wichita for 7 years now. So I started off building a couple software companies in Dallas, sold those, and then after coming up to that, Koch Industries asked me to come up and help them build their growth and venture unit called KDT. So that's what brought us up here. That's how Scott and I met, as we were working on investments together, helping Koch do this. And then as this opportunity came up with High Mount, I was planning to step out and do something new, and Scott was planning to retire, and I fortunately talked him out of that. I think he had a very short retirement. And then we came over and started High Mount. So High Mount's been around for about 18 months now. Mm-hmm.
Scott, talk about your background and how you got to Koch from where, and talk about your experience at Koch.
Yeah, so I've been here for 27 years, and Koch hired me in 1997, back in the day. And I was young and inexperienced, and effectively they just helped train me up in being a lawyer, being a good business person. I like to say they drug me kicking and screaming here. I thought I'd be here 2 years, and I've been here 27 and made a career out of Koch Industries.
Mm-hmm. I always like to ask former Koch employees or Koch employees to pull back the Koch curtain a little bit. It's tough to get the company itself to talk about itself, but former employees can give us some insight as to their experiences there, what they learned, what they covet from their experiences there. How about you, Jason? Let's start with you.
Yeah, I mean, the high level example and the high level thing I always tell people is, like, there is a lot of brilliant, amazing people at Koch, right? Mm-hmm. They would not be as successful as they are had they not built the frameworks and mental models and really do the things that they do. So I'm incredibly grateful for my time there. I met not only great people working there, but because of their reach and what they're working on around the world, gave my own personal career, a jump start in that. That being said, is they like to stay private, right? They they don't like to talk a lot about what they're doing. And frankly, each one of us also only operated inside of our own window. So I knew what was going on inside the investment world, but didn't know inside of all the other core businesses. But I can speak to the investment side that says they've done a great job over kind of the last decade building up their investment side. I give a lot of credit to Chase for helping build that up and the vision that he has for it. And frankly, I'm really excited about where they're going to take it next. I think it's very different from what we're doing at Highmount, which is part of the reason that we broke off. But you know, if they called tomorrow and said, hey, we're looking at something or wanted to partner or wanted to share information, we'd be the first to go back and do that with them.
Mm-hmm. Scott, talk about your experience. 25 years, that's a long time to grow your career.
Yeah, so I had the blessing of being able to work in almost every business unit, which was just a great vantage point to see how different businesses work, how they operate around the world. I'd say two things that really put Coke, you know, make Coke different. And first of all, highest of integrity. You know, people say that, put it on the wall and stuff like that. At Coke, we live it there. And secondly, they follow called the law. The compliance is so critically important. So in today's world, you can't afford to have like a compliance bust. It could bankrupt your business. And so they want to do things the right way. And they want to, even when nobody's looking. And so those two things, I think, set them apart. And I saw it in every business that I touched. People lived it. And so that was, as a lawyer, as a kind of a compliance professional, that was wonderful, because a lot of my brothers and sisters out there in the world work at different companies and they don't effectively live that. And it really makes their lives pretty miserable.
So Jason, 18 months ago, two years ago, you're thinking about striking out on your own with Highmount Capital. Talk about how that happened and you found a partner for that.
Yeah. So, I mean, like we said, Coke's doing a lot of great things on the investment side, but their investments often focus on things that are strategic to Coke, which makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
But we were seeing a lot of other great opportunities, whether they were software or growth or media like Dude Perfect, that just weren't fitting the mandate for Coke. And so as we saw those coming through, we said, and my background is in software in particular, we said, we should be doing more of these types of things. We think there's significant impact, not only financially, but for culture. And so as that was happening, started talking to a friend, David Hawkins, who runs our New York office. And David is also from Dallas, which is where I spent 20 plus years. We didn't know each other.
How'd you guys meet?
So the head of the real estate for Coke Industries went to high school with David. So he introduced us about 8 years ago and we just became friends, fast friends, looked at deals together. You know, he is an elder at Redeemer Church up there. I do a lot in ministry here with Scott and we became friends and started looking at deals together. So when I first got ready to break off and look at doing something separately, I called David and I said, hey, you're building your own firm. I'm thinking about building mine. What if we explore doing it together? And sometimes these conversations take years and years and years to flush out. This one took weeks. Because we'd known each other, because we had similar vision and values, we really set out on the path pretty quickly. And we are very fortunate and blessed that you know, our anchor family that works with us is the Hobby Lobby family of Greens out of Oklahoma City. And they believed in the vision quickly as well and said, hey, if you guys are heading down this path, we would like to be part of that. And that's really what launched Highmount. And it was through that time that Scott was, you know, entertaining the idea of joining us, which, you know, and the way I look at it is you know, the three of us have very complementary capabilities. Very grateful for him coming out of retirement to do that. And it was the start of Highmount. And so we were, you know, we always had that plan of kind of having two offices, one here in Wichita and one in New York. And it's a great launching pad.
Tell the story, and either one of you can tell the story, about how you recruited Scott, whether you called it recruiting or not. Is it as simple to say that if you hadn't decided to go for a walk one day, that this might not have happened, or would it have?
Yeah, that's probably fair to say. So I had made the decision to retire, you know, late that summer, and really didn't exactly know when I was gonna, you know, pull that ripcord. So one day I was out on a walk, just kind of clearing my head and thinking and praying, and Jason popped out of his house. And
you guys live pretty close together.
Yeah. And okay. He said, he shared a little bit with me about the vision of Highmount, David, and got to know him a little bit. And I stayed retired for 30 days. I mean, that was my extent of it. I think those 30 days, I drove my wife a little crazy. So she was actually probably pretty excited for me to get back into the workforce. But yeah, it was a walk and a lot of prayer and a lot of discussion with you guys. And so I think I came aboard January of 23.
So a tough...
And he leaves out the begging and pleading that I had for him to come along, which is kind of him.
It's nice to be wanted.
It absolutely is.
Was it a tough decision at all? Did you find that after 30 days you were bugging your wife a little bit and were you looking for things
to
do?
Well, there were two tough decisions. One is to leave a place I loved, Coke, right? 25 mm-hmm. years. It was a great experience. And I can't, again, say enough good things about my time there. And so, that was a tough decision, but I knew it was the right decision. So I had a lot of peace about that. Coming aboard with Kaimat, not a tough decision at all. We aligned from a vision perspective. We aligned from a values perspective. I believed in what these guys wanted to do. And we obviously had financial backing. Mm-hmm. And so it was a pretty easy decision. And it's probably been the best career decision I've ever made.
Let's fast forward to the Dude Perfect era, I guess. First of all, talk about Dude Perfect for folks who don't know what it is or kind of like me, just knew that they were the trick shot guys on Twitter that I saw. And I thought, these guys are really cool. They're having a lot of fun. But I didn't think much of the business side of it.
Yes. Well, so 15 years ago, five buddies decided to start doing trick shots at their place at Texas A&M mm-hmm. and loaded up to the small nascent platform called YouTube. And little did they know, after doing a couple trick shots, Good Morning America would call them mm-hmm. and say, hey, these are great. You mind if we air them? And they did, and they went viral. And the guys at the time would just say, that was awesome. That was fun. Maybe we should do a couple more of these. Fast forward another 5 years, the guys decided, hey, maybe we should quit our jobs and take a real run at this. And this was still early days of YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. There wasn't this thing called the creator economy or influencers yet.
Right.
And they started by doing primarily just trick shots. But since then, it's really grown into a media company, mm-hmm. right? And they do a number of different types of creative content all around family and sports and entertainment. And they've grown to having, over 60-some million YouTube subscribers, another 50 or 60 million social. So over 100 million people follow them. You can find their Dude Perfect smoothies at Smoothie King now. You can go mm-hmm. to Walmart and buy their best-selling toys.
Right.
You can watch Thursday night simulcast football with the dudes doing it. And your kids love that way more than us old guys. And so they've really just built this tremendous media company. And, we were really fortunate to meet them at this stage of life where they said, hey, we're growing so fast with so many great opportunities. We need help.
How did that first meet happen?
So, like I said, I'm from Dallas. They live in Dallas. Some mutual friends connected us. And at the time, they already had a few private equity groups looking to buy the whole thing. And as we got to know them, I just said, is this what you guys want to do, sell the whole company? And really what they said was, no, we want a great partner. Mm-hmm. We want a partner to help build this to the next level. And so that just started a round of conversations with Scott and myself and David getting to know them. And as we got to know their business and said, hey, what areas do you need help? And that aligned with areas we're strong. And what areas are they really strong on the creative content side? They're already running. It just kind of set us down a path of working together. And little did we know, it wasn't until after the whole transaction happened, did we really understand the size of the other offers that they had too. And that they really wanted to work with us because of what we were able to bring from capabilities and, value standpoint, and really wanting to work with them to build this into, they want to be the most trusted platform in family-friendly entertainment, right? They mm-hmm. think of themselves, how do we build the next Disney? And we love that big vision and think they have the opportunity to do that. And so that's why we're working with them, is we think we can add value. We can kind of be the dudes behind the dudes, right? We don't need to be front and center, and we don't want to be. But at the same time, we think we can help them in a lot of tremendous ways.
I'm sure when you're having those conversations, you're not only having them with dudes, but your dudes representatives, dudes lawyers, dudes business managers, people like that. But is it also interesting because you're just talking with five guys who are really down-to-earth, fun people to be around and like have great personalities?
Well, here's the remarkable thing. They've pretty much built this business with those five guys and one business manager.
That's amazing.
And so think about building, eight, nine-figure a year business with five guys that things are just incoming at them. And so I give them a lot of credit that they've gotten this far without a lot of infrastructure around them. And so there were a lot of direct conversations with them, just really trying to understand what they want to build and what that looks like. And so, yeah, of course, there's lawyers, and you can go through all that other fun stuff. No offense, Scott, for being a lawyer. yeah, the important stuff. But the reality is it really just comes down to, you know, do we trust them? Do they trust us? And do we want to be in partnership together for a long time to build something truly special? And the closer we got to them and their wives and getting to know their families, we realized like these were people that we would love to live next to, right? The people we'd want to just have dinner with. And so when you can build that kind of trust and rapport, it doesn't make everything go smoothly, but it certainly puts you on a good path for success.
They're not stuffed shirts. They're
That's right.
Yeah, one funny story, just last week we were down there with having a closing dinner and with the wives and they were reminiscing. We asked them just to kind of reminisce over the last 15 years. And each of the wives, there were three wives that actually had old text threads talking about the day that three of them came home and said, we're quitting our jobs. And they were just hilarious to read because it was like, are you serious? Is so-and-so going to really quit his job? I'm not letting him quit his job. He's not going to do that. And they realized what a step of faith that was. Is like the wives are going to work for a few years. The guys are going to make a run at this. And what a great decision they made for sure.
Reading Josh Witt's story in the Business Journal last week that talked about this deal, and you've also been on CNBC. It's been a national news, of course. It appears that you sold them on more than the growth part of it, a management team, and talk about the other amenity type things that you can offer them.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we want to serve them well, and that means bringing resources, not just financial resources, around them to do it. And so that starts with just putting a great leadership and management team. And sometimes you walk into situations with companies where they need a new leadership team, but they don't know it. This isn't that. They were raising their hand saying, please help us put a team in place to help guide the business aspects. Because they're spending time going to, you know, F1 in Australia and then filming with the All Blacks and then seeing can Tyler hit a Major League Baseball pitch, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's what they're doing on a day-to-day basis, which is what everybody wants to see, right? And it's engaging for us and our families. But somebody still has to pay the electric bill, right? And somebody still has to talk to Disney and somebody still like, so it's us bringing not only a management team, but also prioritizing and helping them think through the different business lines that they can build around this entertainment platform. And so I'm guessing the first time that Walt drew Mickey Mouse, he wasn't thinking all of a sudden about all the theme park and the merch and the princesses and everything else that come with it. Somebody has to be thinking through those things. And they have all sorts of great ideas. So it's not that there's a lack of ideas. It's more about prioritization and also helping them monetize it so that they build a real platform. And part of their vision is they don't want it to be about just the five dudes. Like, how do they grow that into a much larger platform with other entertainers that are in that family-friendly space? And so that's what we're really here doing, is to say, hey, we want to come alongside you and help on that aspect while letting you do what you do best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me just say one thing. So Jason kind of joked about the light bill or the electric bill. It's true. These guys have really bootstrapped this business. And so each of the dudes, in addition to all the creative content that they do every day, and one guy is paying the light bill, one guy is handling HR issues, and we want to take a lot of that just off their plates and let them be who they are and who God designed them to be, which is incredible creators. And so hiring a management team, including a CEO, right? We've got a national search going on right now, probably a chief financial officer as well, probably a lawyer, probably an HR professional, a real management team that kind of supports these guys.
Mm-hmm. 18 months in business. Relatively new at this. Well, there's no relatively about it. You're new at this. The business is new. Talk about the challenges involved for growing, like you've said, between $100 million and $300 million.
Yeah. Well, so fortunately, between Scott and David and myself, we've collectively probably put billions to work over the years. So it's not our first rodeo.
Right.
But every roadie is a little different, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you're building something from scratch, you really are an entrepreneur all over again. And we've been very fortunate over, you know, even that 18-month period to have hundreds of millions of dollars in assets under management, which really is a testament to great partnerships, mm-hmm. really building relationships with great families and groups that want to come alongside and believe in these types of investments. And what we talk to each group about is we're not just investing in them. We really want to partner. Right? We don't just want to be there and get a quarterly update, and nor do we want to send our investors a quarterly update. We want to help them build their businesses. And we want to ask important questions about, you know, what are they trying to accomplish and why? And it, when you get to the what and why of something, then you can really determine, do you want a partner? Mm-hmm. Everybody's money's green. It just is. And there are big pockets out there, but that doesn't mean we want to partner with everybody that has green money, because they have to be going the same direction with the same purpose and really trying to accomplish something long term. And so we've been very fortunate to have some great investors and great partners. And I think that's why we're also seeing great deals. I mean, the biggest challenge for families, whether they're Coke Industries or anything else, is getting access to the best deal flow, mm-hmm. right? And to do that, you have to build great relationships because people have to trust you. Mm-hmm. And I think the Dude Perfect deal was a testament to David and Scott and Ben and myself building that trust with them. And I hope that every other company we work with has that same relationship where I hope they want to send Christmas cards to us or call us on a Saturday. Or if there's a problem in their family, they call and ask, hey, what's going on? Can they share that? Mm-hmm. Because then that helps us really know them to build a enduring, sustainable legacy type business.
When you are working with investors, I guess I had the impression that you know you're selling social media megastars, when in reality you're selling more of a media company, aren't you?
Yeah.
How would you describe it?
That's a great question. So I never really want to sell celebrities because I don't really think they are celebrities, but I don't think that's the gist of it. I think really what we were talking about is a platform, mm-hmm. right? They've built an enduring platform that could last for hundreds of years if done correctly. And so I wouldn't even say we were selling. We are more like painting the vision of where this is going and saying, who wants to be part of it, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, once you kind of run one direction, say, this is the direction we're running and here's the vision and here's the traction we have, you kind of lock arms with whoever's running that direction as well. And that's really how this came together, was saying, hey, we believe in them. We're going to run with the dudes, you know, and who else in, you know, in the, on the High Mount team and investors want to go with us. And that's really how it came together.
Yeah, we had overwhelming interest in this deal. I mean, in fact, we had to turn down some investors, which is a blessing and it kind of a curse sometimes as well, right? Because those are hard conversations to have. But people got it. I mean, our investors are large, wealthy family offices mm-hmm. That have made their money in real estate or sports teams or even professional athletes. And they got it. I mean, they saw this as not just five dudes doing trick shots, but truly like a media juggernaut that is just really at that inflection point where it can just be a rocket ship.
For the layman like me, how and why do you turn down investors?
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, you want to take on the right amount of capital, right? You want to put the right amount of capital to work in terms of the partnerships. And so we don't want to just let everybody into the deal. We want to have the right partners. And I think what Scott said in terms of, we would have loved to let 15 more families in if, one, we needed more capital, but we didn't. And two, some of the ones that we already had were longstanding relationships and were very strategic to being help the dudes, right? Some of these were in, you know, restaurants and entertainment and sports, and those relationships can help us build this as well. And so that doesn't mean there aren't other opportunities that we as High Mount will run into, and we're continuing to build those relationships with families. But at the end of the day, we also have to be very intentional and purposeful about each investment and how we structure that. And that's where Scott and the team come in and do a great job of not only just the legal framework, but making sure we're thinking about how we're structuring every deal.
Venture firm fundraising was as low as it could, hit a low in 2023. What kind of challenge does that give you guys?
Yeah, so first of all, I wouldn't really put us in the venture space, right?
Right.
Venture's typically
True.
Earlier.
True.
So usually we're more kind of growth and kind of middle market private equity. Mm-hmm. But still, fundraising was down over 70%.
Right.
And so what I always tell people is, like, sometimes the best time to deploy is the worst time to raise capital, mm-hmm. right? Because there's kind of a vacuum that's happening where there are real opportunities. And that's how our firm looked at this as an opportunity. If you look at the downturns of 2000, 2001, or 2007, 2008, some of the best companies were birthed during those times because there was less capital. So people were being more capital efficient, and the people that were putting money to work, when the market did turn, it just took off like a rocket right. ship. And so we've been looking at the tough fundraising time and saying, well, that just means we need to build better relationships and work harder. And there's still capital out there, and there are still families and institutions that want to have great partners. And the downturn actually flushed out that there were just some people out there that weren't great investors. And there were out there some companies that probably shouldn't exist long term. Mm-hmm. And we came in, I would love to say we picked this time, but we didn't, right? We were fortunate enough to hit the wave at this time. And I think it's going to prove out long term very beneficial to not only Highmount, but to the companies that we're partnering with.
And the interesting thing to our listeners is this is partially happening from Wichita. And I'd like you guys to both talk about how unusual this type of venture is coming from a city in the Midwest, a city that's not a great big city yet, but it has somebody like you guys who are making it work.
Yeah. Well, hopefully 10 years from now, this won't be unusual, mm-hmm. right? We want Wichita to be on a map just like anybody talks about Dallas or Chicago or New York. And I don't think it has to be different, right? I mean, I think there's great companies and great investors everywhere. And I even think the pandemic kind of reminded us that everybody spread back out and business still moved on and things went fairly well. And so that Wichita has been known for a long time to be very entrepreneurial, mm-hmm. right? Very thoughtful, intentional, intelligent investors, as well as entrepreneurs building companies. And I think it's still there. I just think that sometimes you go into these lulls of like, well, we're comfortable with the big companies and not looking at the next gen companies. And I'm hoping that this is a spark and a reminder that like this can be done anywhere. And we look at companies, not just in the big cities, but you can look at Cincinnati, or you can look at Fort Lauderdale, you can look at Wichita, and there are a lot of great things happening. And so for us, are there challenges of being out of Wichita? Travel's the biggest challenge. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, I would say most of the things are actually upside in terms of living here, because we don't get caught in the FOMO mindset of being on the coasts.
Right.
And we get also the opportunity to be very intentional about where we travel and who travels to see us, right? So you get a chance to be purposeful in how you act. And I think actually that is a benefit. And I was just talking to a really large billion-dollar entity on the West Coast, telling them about our firm. And they said, we need more firms that don't operate in the same mindset as everyone else. And they have billions of dollars to work. They were grateful that we were doing it differently. And I think that's going to prove in returns over time. I also think that when you think about having Midwest roots, but also connections to the coast, it just gives you opportunities and resources that maybe not everybody else has.
10 years from now, like you said, if this is not unusual, what will have happened to make it work in Wichita?
Yeah, so I think it's a couple things. Well, first of all, you certainly have to have capital. I mean, right, you have to have money to put towards great ventures and opportunities. You also have to be willing to absorb a certain amount of risk. Mm-hmm. Like building something from scratch, or even building something that's growing, takes work. And so those things have to come. I think the people are here. I mean, I think there's great people here, but I think we need to attract more talent too. We shouldn't be comfortable with where we are. Every phase of life, you should be thinking about, you need a new version of you to do that well. And I think where people often get lost is going from 1x to 2x sometimes is harder than going from 1x to 10x. And I mean, because 10x causes an actual change of habit and behavior, mm-hmm. right? It makes you change the way you think about things. Going from 1x to 2x, you think about, well, I'm just going to work harder. And that right. that seems like it's going to wear you down. It's not a vision. But when you say, I'm going to go, hey, we're going to 10x this thing, all of a sudden it opens the doors of what's possible. And it brings other people into that conversation. If you would have said, hey, five guys from Texas A&M, College Station, are going to start doing trick shots and build a giant business, that sounds crazy. So why does it sound any crazier to build something out of Wichita than College Station, right? It doesn't.
Right.
And I think that's where I would encourage young entrepreneurs and even people inside of big organizations, if they have an idea to break off and build something, take those resources, those experiences, come out and don't just do it alone, do it collaboratively. But you can do this in the Midwest. You can do this in Wichita, Kansas City, Denver, wherever that is you want to do it. And we're seeing more and more of that all the time. And so I would love to say like, we're in the very front of this, but I think there have been people plowing this road for the last 10 years. And now you're just starting to see the first round of fruit. And I hopefully we see more of that fruit in the next 10 years.
Yeah, I would say that there's a real momentum building here, which is exciting. And I wouldn't say that 10 years ago, that the investor community, I think the startup community is starting to percolate a bit. I think that hopefully this deal is maybe a shot in the arm to say this can be done here and it can be done well. And I think, just like Jason said, in terms of talent, we've got incredible talent here. We've got people that with Midwest values, right, and that work hard. And I mean, it's hard to start a company. I mean, it is not for the faint of heart. And so you got to be willing to you know, roll up your sleeves, and those people are here. And so we're excited to see what Wichita and the Midwest could look like in the next 10 years. It could be like the next Boulder, right? If you look at that startup community, and the collaboration between founders and financiers and really and big companies in the university. I mean, it is a fantastic partnership, and there's no reason why that can't happen here.
Last question. You guys have spent many hours with the Dude Perfect guys, and we were talking before we started taping about how down to earth, how, you know, friends you'd love to have. Draw back the curtain on these guys a little bit. Tell us something that Dude Perfect fans would want to know about these guys.
So if you know Tyler, he's the lead guy on most of this. When you see him, he's so outgoing and you know, so excited about stuff. When he turns off the camera, he is probably the most introverted guy on the
yes.
team. Like, he loves to go out to the ranch and just hunt and be off the grid. And so to then see him turn on and be on the camera and just be as excited and, you know, bubbly and connecting to the kids the way he does, and then to see him off. And he's a tremendous guy. He's just more introverted, mm-hmm. right? But he's incredibly creative. So like the best-selling game they have at Walmart, Tyler basically came up with it himself and drew it on the back of a pizza box, right? So he's incredibly creative, but he's very introverted. And so I will say the first meeting we sat down to meet all the guys, I didn't even know if he liked us.
No.
Because he was so quiet. I'm like, maybe he doesn't like us at all. It's not that he doesn't like us. It's just that he's quiet. And so each of the guys have a personality, and what they do on camera is very real. But at the same time, they also have other skill sets that as you get to know them, it's pretty fun to see what's kind of behind the scenes or behind the curtain.
Well, we look forward to following how this goes with this investment group. And from High Mount Capital, Scott Faluki, Jason Illion, thanks so much for joining me as we learn more about this. And we'll keep following the Dude Perfect guys, and I'll really be following them now.
That's great. Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you. Well, that's it for Biz Talk this week, episode 360. Check out all our podcast episodes at our Biz Talk Hub. That's at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. Thank you for listening and subscribing. Biz Talk is a production of the Wichita Business Journal, and thanks very much to our sponsor, Equity Bank. Creating the business concept turned out to be the easy part. The challenges that follow is where Equity Bank comes in. Equity Bank was built by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Let them help your business evolve and solve your challenges. Tomorrow is here. Visit them today at equitybank.com/evolve. Be well and be safe. Have a profitable week.